debater has the distinction of having never lost a debate, other than the ones where he feels the audience was mistaken. Please welcome Air Farce Perennial, Alan Park.
There he is. Alan. How's it going, man?
And this man will be starring in a new series on Showcase coming next year and recently swam all the way across the shallow end at the Delta Chelsea. That's a true story. Welcome, Dave Hempstead. Hey, guys. Alan, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, man. Alan did one of my favorite debates ever. We were in Alberta, and he basically told Albertans to their face why they were stupid.
That was the other one I actually lost.
But it was so well played. And Dave Hempstead, what is that new Showcase series you're in?
We can't talk about it.
Oh, we can't?
No, we just don't have a title.
Oh, you don't have a title yet.
So
it has caused you to grow a mustache, hasn't it?
Yep.
Which we can't talk about.
No, that's right.
Here we go. Your topic, gentlemen, is civil disobedience. Is it necessary? Canada has a long tradition of civil disobedience, from the Winnipeg General Strike of 1919 and the G20 in 2010 to the famous Steve Patterson bed-in of yesterday morning. Wow. So, whereas breaking the law is a great way to bring attention to injustice, be it resolved that civil disobedience is essential to democracy. Alan, you are arguing for this, please. You have 2 minutes, beginning right now.
Civilized elections do not prevent power-tripping politicians from exercising their disobedience towards us between elections. When Harper sang he would get high with a little help from my friends, who knew that high meant the unnecessary $16 billion price tag of sole-source Lockheed Martin jets, and that his friend's name is Lockheed Martin? Now, put that up against the cost of one burned-out Toronto cop car contributing towards the next Harper minority and thereby his political swan song. Then civil disobedience is not only essential to democracy, but also more cost-effective. It was good old-fashioned civil disobedience that ruptured the communist bloc. Now, do you wish they were still the old way, Comrade Hempstead? Or should I say, Hempstead? I'd like to be a fly on the whites-only drinking fountain when my opponent here informs American black people they should have just stayed seated at the back of the bus. Dave, I had no idea you were a candidate for the Tea Party. And as far as protesting goes, if a guy can't even light up a joint at a legalized marijuana protest, then what are we to... How exactly are we gonna... Listen, I forgot what I was gonna say, but that's fine. I want you to listen to Dave Hempstead. He won't use these actual words, but what he is trying to tell you is that his idea of a good time was apartheid South Africa.
Alan Park, everybody! Now, arguing that civil disobedience is not essential to democracy, here's the very democratic and mustachioed Dave Hempstead. Dave Hempstead, everybody.
I don't like the way this is going, so I'm just not going to play by the rules. Kind of stupid, isn't it? Quit trying to confuse me and everybody else with your big words. Civil disobedience is lawbreaking. Plain and simple. Why don't we pick a couple other words for what you're after? How do you feel about chaos? You like that one? Anarchy? Does that sit with you there, Mr. Sit-In? Yeah. No, look, obviously there were times of oppression when a rebel group had to band together to fight an evil empire, but that was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Sure, you make it sound romantic with your Gandhi, your Rosa Parks, and your Cheech and Chong, but... But what about the G20 pot smoker? People in hoods burning cop cars. You know who else wears hoods and disrupts things? The KKK. Aren't they technically civil disobedients? I thought we already had a system for protesters. The right to gather in a public place. All you have to do is fill out some forms and you can have a parade or a march or a marathon or anything you please. You just can't set the city on fire. Unless, of course, your team has lost the Stanley Cup. Then go crazy.
Dave Hempstead, everybody. Dave Hempstead is against civil disobedience. Alan Park is all for it. It is time now for the bare knuckle round. This is your chance, debaters, to lob a Molotov cocktail of facts and funny at your opponent and incite a laugh riot. This may be about civil disobedience, but I want you to obey the rules of this round and dispense with civility. Begin.
Well, you want to lay the law down, Dave. Let's hear what you have to say here.
Let's just work backwards for a second. What's the opposite of what you're arguing for? Civil obedience? Isn't that called manners? Clearly, what do you want? The right to do naked cartwheels on a streetcar in the bike lane? Well, I don't know what you're...
I didn't know that was
illegal. We're still going to need
banks. Is that even physically possible?
You know what happens when there's a big strike? Innocent bystanders get hurt. Okay, teacher strike, students lose a year of their life. Transit strike, a lot of hardworking people can't get to work. You ever been a part of a garbage strike? If you have, you know strikes stink. There's clearly a system of which you can express your point in a lucid manner so that it can be received properly, leading to recourse and justice for all. It doesn't have to involve smashing windows and hiding your face.
Alan?
It does have to involve smashing windows or getting out of jail, let's say. What about people that are illegally held in prisons in countries around the world for no reason other than some authoritarian figure whom you worship at their temple has locked them away for good for something that in this country would be completely fine to do? How do you even that out without civil disobedience?
No idea.
That's the bare knuckle round, everybody. If you're keeping score, please stop. It is time now for the firing line. In my hand, I have a list of questions on civil disobedience brought to you by balaclavas. Balaclavas, worn by the most lawless group of terrifying anarchists Canada has ever produced. That's right, snowmobilers. I'm talking to you. First, we check our noisemakers that can disperse a crowd if used properly. Alan, on the horn, thank you. Dave Hempstead.
On behalf of local noisemakers 119, I refuse to purchase it.
You know, just so we're clear.
All right.
Here we go. Why did the New York Times declare that Bolshevism had invaded Canada?
Oh.
Dave?
Because they couldn't understand a word Chrétien was saying.
Not what I have here, but he's on the board. Mr. Park.
Bolshevism?
Bolshevism.
Because polls showed that Canadians preferred Obama as president?
No. No, it was because of the 1919 Winnipeg general strike. Next question. What was the Regina riot? Alan.
Oh, the Regina riot was an extremely filthy joke that... in her younger days, the Queen used to tell.
I'm going to give you 2 points. 2 points. Incorrect, though. Dave Hempstead.
The Regina riot was actually a typo.
Two and a half. He's clawing his way back. For those of you with grown-up minds, the Regina riot was an RCMP attack on the 1935 On to Ottawa trek. What caused the famous Flint sit-down strike?
Oh.
Dave?
Stuffed crust pizza.
It's too much cheese. Okay. It's just too much.
Not what I have here.
The Flint Alan? Sit-down strike, yeah, that was actually a misnomer. It was actually a promotional stunt for Lazy Boy.
The Flint sit-down strike was caused by American auto workers who refused to work or leave their factories. And that is the firing line, everybody. I hope you're learning. I hope you're learning at least as much as you're laughing. It is almost time for our studio audience to choose a winner. But first, here again to diss civil disobedience is another minute of dissertation from Dave Hempstead.
Look, Alan, this is a free society. We can't very well have people running around doing whatever they like. See, that's the big problem with civil disobedience. When to use it? How do you know when it's appropriate that it won't hurt others? There should be some sort of a committee that decides when and where civil disobedience is used appropriately. No. Hey, you don't want to disobey civilly at the wrong time. Sends the wrong message. Of course, then we'd need people to enforce the punishments. A team of people to enforce the rules. Well, we'll just call them laws, shall we? No, wait. We already did all that.
Damn that. With some excellent points.
Are you serious about that?
Here again to tell us why civil disobedience is in order. It's the very in order. Alan Park.
Well, disobedience and even anarchy can be socially desirable tools to enhance personal freedoms, as well as reflect a national culture. Without anarchy in China, there would have been no one to stand in front of Chinese tanks. And without anarchy in the UK, there would have been no Sex Pistols. Dave, I am, as much as anybody else, personally dismayed by your desire for fascist control. But I have to be honest with myself and say that it is refreshing to meet a man that thinks Gandhi was a punk.
Alan Park, everybody!
No, forget that. I'm going to keep going here. I've got more to say. I'm going to make a point, and I'm going to do so in a disobedient manner. Steve, you are an authoritarian host. You've got a fetish for dinner bells. It needs to stop, and that is a fact.
Alan Park, everybody.
No, and I've got more than
no,
I want.
That is enough. We get it.
I bang your gavel.
It's not just a prop.
Alan Park, everybody. I quit under protest.
Alan Park is for civil disobedience. Audience, please obey. It is time for you to pick a winner. By applause, who thought that Alan's pro-disobedience diatribe got the most positive result? Alan Park. And who preferred Dave's anti-authority antics? Dave Hempstead. Wow. This crowd is against civil disobedience. Dave Hempstead is our winner.
Big hand for Alan Park.
Big hand for Alan Park and Dave Hempstead, everybody.